You're listening to Sound Effect from KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our show this week is all about senses. So this next story is about a sense of hearing, but also a sense of community. What you're hearing right now is from the Sorrento Hotel on First Hill in Seattle. And the Sorrento, if you haven't seen it, it's this seven-story tall, ornate, Italian Renaissance-style hotel. It opened in 1909. KPLU's Ed Ronco went there for something called a silent reading party. And he's here now to tell us more about it. Hey, Ed.
Hello, Gabriel.
So we're hearing sound from inside the fireside room at the Sorrento. What is that space like?
All right. It's this big hexagonal room right off the lobby. There's dark wood paneling on the walls, big column right in the middle of the room, and the lights are subdued. There's a baby grand piano and a giant fireplace that's kind of outlined in green tile.
Oh, sounds cozy.
It is.
All right, so what's going on right now?
It's early evening. The room is filling up with people. Some of them have books. Some of them have Kindles or tablets. And then, right at 6, without any prompting, the room falls absolutely silent.
Really?
Okay, that might be a little too silent. Hold on. There. That's about right. You can still hear some background noise as people get drinks, and there's, you know, waitstaff circulating throughout the room, but the conversations have stopped. The books are opened, eventually a piano player shows up and adds some live music. Every seat is taken, people are on the floor, and all of them are reading in silence.
Why are you doing this?
All right, for that answer, let's turn to Christopher Frizzell. He's the editor-in-chief of The Stranger and one of the founders of the Silent Reading Party. He talks a little bit about how it got started and what exactly is going on right now.
It came from a couple Stranger critics 10 years ago, realizing at the end of a work day, oh, we all have to go home and read. I need to go home because I'm reviewing this book. And we went to the grocery store and bought figs and cheese and whiskey and chocolate and had a great time sitting around, mostly not talking to each other, but occasionally talking to each other. I really wanted to read at bars and have a drink and read, but a lot of bars aren't lit for reading. And a lot of the bars that are, the people who are there get insulted if you're sitting there reading. I've had so many interactions in bars where people say things like, don't you know you're in a bar, or must be a really good book, or, you know, they get kind of weirdly offended or as if you're trying to prove that you know how to read, or I don't know why they get so offended, but there is a strange thing where it's a violation of the social code if you're in a bar where everybody's socializing for you to be sitting at the bar reading. And I really wanted that opposite to be true. What scenario would mean everybody in the bar gets to read?
Did you think when you said let's give this a try, people would actually show up to this?
No, I really thought it was a silly idea born of my own social interactions. And to this day, it surprises me the number of people that show up.
What's social about reading for you when you're not actually reading to other people or the same thing as other people?
It's not that it's social. It's more like I don't want to be alone. It's more like I want to read, and I also want to combat the loneliness of reading. And I feel like if people hang out together and read together, and occasionally, you know, someone will lean over and say, you got to read this paragraph, or they'll start cracking up and you'll take an interest because you just can't help it. Occasionally people pass notes, which I strongly encourage. I think it's really adorable. And people talk afterward. I mean, people, when you're not allowed to make small talk, all you want to do is make small talk. It's so strange. It's really funny to watch these people like repressing their desire to speak up. And then 8 o'clock comes and they're like, oh my God, okay, so I just read this thing. And it's great. They're actually excited to talk to people in a room where they might not be excited otherwise. It's a city thing. It's a literary thing. It's a social thing. It's a bar thing. They have art that changes in this room, so it's kind of an art thing too. There's a lot about it that's still beyond my ability to grasp. I think the first couple years it was rare that it was really full. It would be full every other time or every three times. Now it's pretty consistently always full and sometimes way too full, but it's not empty like it used to be.
What has made it last?
I don't know. Here's the surprise. Yeah. The surprise is I'm sitting in a room with 80 people. There's 5 strangers to a couch. There's no room. There are people sitting on the floor because they want to be in this room, even though nothing's going to happen. They can just go home and sit in a chair and read. But they want to be part of this group thing. They just want to be part of a social fabric, and yet they also want to get some reading done. They're a person who's got a book that they've been meaning to get to, or a book they're really wrapped up in. And what's surprising to me is the number of people who want to sit on the floor. That's how excited they are to be in the room, even though literally nothing's going to happen.
It sounds a little like the first scene in a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
People make eyes across the room at each other. I mean, it's...
God, I hope so. Yeah, I hope that's happened.
Yeah.
It's got to happen soon. I mean, we've been doing this for 5 years, and there is definitely a flirtatious vibe, I think. Especially, there's lots of young people, lots of heterosexual people. I wish there were more gay people, personally. And it's there's something sexy about it. Being all together, everybody reading in their books and sort of unavailable mentally, there's something that draws you toward a person who's reading. And I really like that vibe.
Did more people come, say, in 2008 because the economy crashed and it was something free to do? Mm. Or, I mean, I just wonder if, like, world events or local events shape who shows up.
That's so funny. I don't think so. I mean, I think the more time has gone by, the more people come. I think that's all it is. For a while, we had special guests, which was also sort of an inside joke because the special guests didn't say anything or do anything. They just literally sat there and read whatever they felt like, and then they went home. Really, what calls attention to it is word of mouth and how unusual it is. And I think there is a deep-seated desire in the culture to reconnect with literature. And there are very few opportunities to be encouraged to.
We're such a tech-heavy culture. We're such a on-the-go, it feels like, you know, culture. Sitting around in silence, reading something that's ink and paper, that would be so popular is, I think, very surprising.
It's bizarre. It's wonderful.
Is it rude to ask what somebody's reading at one of these things?
I hope not. I think that's the only way to actually start the conversation.
What are you reading?
I'm reading The Waves by Virginia Woolf. I like it, although I don't like it as much as I liked To the Lighthouse, which I read about a month ago. And I read it twice. It was so good. And to this day, I walk down the street and think about that book and just start bawling.
That was Christopher Frizzell, editor-in-chief of The Stranger and co-founder of Seattle's Silent Reading Party. He spoke with KPLU's Ed Ronco. You can see what the sound effect team is reading on our website. It's kplusoundeffect.org. The Silent Reading Party happens the first Wednesday of every month at the Sorrento Hotel on Seattle's First Hill. It starts at 6 o'clock, but if you want to sit on actual furniture, you should get there early.